Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 35 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Ellen Barnett.
Seems like everything they talk about is going to have a negative impact on public education.
Rowan County teachers are expected to participate in a countywide walk-in on Wednesday morning.
Students at Rowan's High School are planning to participate in a nationwide walkout on Wednesday.
A bill aiming at fighting voter fraud died in a House committee yesterday.
Moorhead's mayor says a new police and fire station for the city is falling into place.
A community group is offering grants to local organizations.
In sports, U of L's basketball team begins postseason play tonight against Northern Kentucky.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly cloudy skies tonight with a 30% chance of snow. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Teachers in Rowan County are expected to be seen outside their buildings Wednesday morning. A countywide walk-in is being staged to demand answers to the pension crisis and funding issues with education across the Commonwealth. Rowan Superintendent Marvin Moore is supporting the event. He says without standing up to be heard, bad legislation could have already been passed.
We thought it'd be a teaching moment for our students as well. They can see, you know, democracy and going about it the right way and how you approach things, and we're all working together, and this is where you get things done in a positive way.
Moore says student instruction will begin as normal Wednesday morning. The walk is scheduled for 7:15 to 7:45.
High school students across the nation will take part in a walk out on Wednesday. The event was planned to honor the lives of the 17 people killed at Stoneman Douglas High and press lawmakers to pass stricter gun control laws, according to Empower, the group organizing the action. Rowan County senior high school students will be among those walking out. Principal Dr. Ray Ginter says his students have chosen to focus on the memorial aspect of the event.
You know, there's been some things passed out and some things on the wall, but most of the kids are coming and telling us that, you know, it's going to happen. So I'm in support of the fact that they want to speak out for their rights, but they're questionable on what their parents, you know, having to do what their parents want, what they want. And it's just one of those things that's controversial, we'll have to see.
Ginter says students who choose not to participate in the walk out will be free to stay in their classrooms.
A bill aimed at fighting voter fraud died in a House committee yesterday. If passed, House Bill 215 would require voters to have a picture identification card issued by a governmental or educational entity to be presented to election officers in order to vote. Kate Miller of the ACLU Kentucky voiced opposition to the legislation, saying that there is not a huge problem of voter fraud in the state, and it would create challenges for voters who are sick, elderly, disabled, and people of color.
18% of Americans over the age of 65 do not have government-issued IDs. 18%. Nationally, 25% of African American citizens of voting age lack government IDs, and that's compared to only 8% of whites. So we know that these types of laws disproportionately impact black and brown voters.
The bill failed to pass the House committee and will not advance to the full House.
A bill that proposed a constitutional amendment to term limit on incoming members of the General Assembly failed to pass on Monday. According to Spectrum News, House Bill 73, sponsored by Republican Representative Jim Duplessis from Elizabethtown, would limit senators to four-year terms and House members to 8 2-year terms. Duplessis says the bill appeals to change in government.
If you are a representative and you'd like to stay a representative after 16 years, you can sit out for 2 years and get right back in. That gives the process to get a fresh person in the seat to see if the people like that person. I believe that term limits is a strong start to getting money and power out of politics.
The bill needed 9 votes to pass. It failed with a final vote count at 8 yes, 3 no, and 2 passes.
The widow of a Kentucky state representative who killed himself last year has removed her name from the upcoming primary. Haley Hansen reports.
According to the Secretary of State's office, Rebecca Johnson withdrew her name from the 49th District State Representative race. Her husband, Dan Johnson, took his own life days after being accused of sexual assault in December. Rebecca was the GOP nominee in a special election last month to fulfill the remainder of her husband's term, but she lost to Democrat Linda Belcher by nearly 37 percentage points. Thomas Huff is now the only Republican candidate in the race. I'm Haley Hansen.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowan County Fiscal Court, offering a payroll and occupational tax amnesty program through March 31st. A 5% penalty and interest will be waived if delinquent taxes are paid before March 31st. Taxes not paid by the deadline may result in further penalties or legal action. More information on the Rowan County Tax Amnesty Program is available by calling the Rowan County Finance Director at 784-8505.
As the economy shifts across America, Kentucky's Secretary of Labor is looking toward education to put his state at the top of the workforce game. Secretary Derek Ramsey visited Morehead State University last week to discuss apprenticing with university officials. Ramsey says Kentuckians are already seeing the necessary shift from a labor-intensive workforce to one that is more technologically driven.
2016, we had 10,000 coal miners. 10 years prior to that, we had 30,000 coal miners. At the end of 17, we had 6,400 coal miners. And so having said that, we're having to repurpose, retrain all these incredible people for what the opportunities are yielding and are.
Ramsey hopes to break the stereotype that apprenticing is only for construction jobs. He says thousands of careers can benefit from the practice.
Morehead's mayor expects a major development in the city's bid to build a $5 million police and fire station to happen this week. According to Jim Tom Trent, the town will acquire a key piece of land that adjoins the property where they hope to construct the facility. Once that happens, he expects things to fall into place quickly in terms of the purchase of the actual site where the structure will be built.
We do want to get that project going. It's something that's been high on my agenda since I took over in 2015, and literally we've been talking about that and recreation opportunities since then, and we're finally seeing some of that hard work and cooperation and all the planning and everything starting to slowly come to fruition.
Trent will not divulge where the land for the city's new police and fire station is located, other than to say it is close to Morehead's downtown.
The city of Morehead is being asked to consider hosting the 2019 State Championship Horseshoe Pitch Tournament. Two-time World Championship horseshoe pitcher Dalton Rakestraw addressed City Council last night. He says the Morehead Conference Center would be a perfect spot for pitching.
Everything would run on schedule. We'd have the two-day event, and it goes smooth. I mean, this is comparable to the World Championships as far as revenue and people coming in. People love playing inside because you don't have to worry about heat. You don't have to worry about rain. You don't have to worry about wind, all those elements. You have a climate-controlled indoor facility, and it's never been done in the state of Kentucky.
The tournament would take place Labor Day weekend. Rakestraw says it could bring around $20,000 tourism dollars to the city.
The Rowan County Community Fund is now accepting proposals for potential projects to fund. Downtown Morehead Incorporated Director Tony Pence is a member of the fund's board. Pence says the panel will give out grants of up to $4,000 for initiatives that improve the area's quality of life.
Number one is the impact on the Morehead and Rowan County community. You got to show, number two, evidence of sustainability, the duration of your impact for the duration, and the likelihood of your project's success. So your record of succeeding at things will matter when you send your application in.
Those eligible to apply for funding from the Rowan Community Fund must be 501c3 tax-exempt, charitable organizations, local governments, school districts, or programs sponsored by one of these entities. Applications must be postmarked no later than April 13th. The Bluegrass Community Foundation helps oversee the Rowan Community Fund. For more information, call 859-225-3343.
Morehead City Council continues to plan for a project involving high-speed wired internet. The completion of the Kentucky Wired project is still a ways off, but representatives with Solarity, a Lexington-based business consultant, says the city can't start too early drawing up a plan. Terry Barnes told the council last night the project is complex, but the result would be a high-speed cable network.
I can't give you a number as to how much data that can carry, but I guarantee you it could provide, if you were just doing voice service for the state of Kentucky, you could use one of these and provide telephone service to everybody in the state of Kentucky. That's how much technology has evolved.
Solarity offered its consulting services to the city, though the council did not make a decision on the matter yesterday.
The Ashland City Commission has approved a new process for nonprofit organizations to secure grants. WMKY's Brian Courtney has more.
The new process was approved by the commission 3-2. The ordinance now requires applicants to disclose the purpose of the grant in great detail. It also creates a subcommittee comprised of local residents to review applications before the committee does. Under the new rules, organizations must document how a grant is used in the new fiscal year. According to the Daily Independent, they also must demonstrate how they use the funds for economic development and community benefit. The organization will have within 90 days of the end of the fiscal year to submit documents. Failure to do so will have the commission demand repayment, and the recipient may not be able to receive grants in the future. The deadline for grant applications is March 30th, and in future fiscal years will be January 15th. The commission meets again on March 22nd. For WMKY, I'm Brian Courtney.
The demolition of aging facilities on the Morehead State University campus will continue, but not to the extent that has been rumored. School President Dr. Jay Morgan says while an empty Butler Hall will have a date with the wrecking ball, there's no truth to stories being circulated that MSU plans to tear down the Lloyd Cassidy Building, Weatherby Gymnasium, Cooper Hall, or the massive Laughlin Health Building.
We spend about $250,000 a year heating and cooling and cleaning that building alone. And there's only just a small handful of 2, 3, 4 people left in there. The plan right now, as I understand the facility task force, is maybe to move those people possibly out and then just turn down the heat and air on that and not heat and cool it to save money.
In an effort to save money on maintenance expenses, MSU recently spent $60,000 to raise several old homes on the edge of its campus that it had been using for various offices and programs over the last several years. And taking a look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening area tonight, mostly cloudy skies with lows around 21. There's a 30% chance of snow showers with little to no accumulation expected. On Wednesday, there's a chance of flurries before 8 a.m. Mostly cloudy for the rest of the day with highs near 38. On Wednesday night, mostly cloudy with lows around 30. And on Thursday, mostly clear skies on Thursday with highs near 53. Clear at night with lows around 27. It is currently sitting at 37 degrees in Winchester, 39 in Ashland and Inez. It's 36 degrees in Lexington, and it's 35 degrees in Flemingsburg and here on the campus of Morehead State University.
On our feature segment today, the owner of an Elliott County animal sanctuary says allegations of animal abuse are unfounded, while a local dog rescuer says the charges he faces aren't enough. WMKY's Jacob Lindberg has the story.
67-year-old Randy Skaggs founded the nonprofit Trixie Foundation in Webbville in 1990. On its website, the foundation promotes itself as an Eden for dogs and cats in eastern Kentucky. Skaggs was arrested by Kentucky State Police last Thursday. He is charged with 179 counts of second-degree animal cruelty and 179 counts of not vaccinating dogs against rabies. Skaggs says the allegations of abuse are untrue.
All a person has to do is drive here and take a look at the animals in our care. They are fat, they are healthy, they go to the vet when they need to. It's ludicrous. It really is. It's just a joke.
Julia Sharp founded the nonprofit dog rescue organization Saving the Animals of Rowan and now operates animal rescue service TLC Rescue. She contends the conditions at Skaggs facility are the worst she has seen in over 20 years of rescuing animals in Kentucky.
Well, I went out there 15 years ago, and saw it with my own eyes. It was just a nightmare. This is the absolute worst I have ever seen, and I have been in some really horrible places.
Skaggs, who has advocated for better animal control standards in the Commonwealth, calls the charges retaliation from officials.
Nobody, but nobody, is doing anything in Appalachia and rural Kentucky to address animal welfare, and for us to be picked on and ostracized and made a scapegoat for the state's failure to address animal welfare is absurd.
Sharp agrees that animal welfare laws need updating, but alleges animals at the Trixie Foundation are not well cared for.
Our laws do not even require shelter for an animal, just space. And food, water, and space. Adequate food, water, and space. Well, what's adequate? The law is not defined. In Kentucky, some dogs have been on chains with no shelter, green water, and maggoty food, and it's legal.
In regards to the charges of failing to vaccinate animals at his facility, Skaggs admits he did not vaccinate yearly.
There's a lot of people that believe that over-vaccinating can have detrimental effects and impact the animal's overall health long term. Regardless, that's not what the law says. The law says you have to do it yearly. I did not do it yearly. I freely admit that I made a mistake.
Sharp says she and others vying against Skaggs will continue to closely follow the case.
We aren't going to stop. We are going to see this through until the bitter end. This man has to be held accountable for his crimes.
But Skaggs argues the Trixie Foundation is truly an Eastern Kentucky Eden for animals.
You want to see animals are not well cared for once you drive out there in the county, in these counties that don't have a tax base, and watch the animals live in these little pig pens. You see what they're doing to address animal welfare.
Skaggs is scheduled for arraignment in Elliott County District Court on misdemeanor charges Thursday. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Jacob Lindberg.
It's 4:47 and 35 degrees on the frosted campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Ellen Barnett, and we're so glad that you've joined us on this snowy Tuesday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from The Bakery on Main, next to Pasquale's on East Main Street in Morehead. The Bakery on Main prepares made-from-scratch breads, cakes, pies, tarts, and cookies. Glazed, cream, and fruit-filled donuts made fresh Monday, Friday, and Saturday. Catering for weddings, birthdays, bridal, and baby showers. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Orders by phone at 606-783-0101 and online at thebakeryonmain.com.
Louisville gets going. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. Louisville's foray into the NIT begins tonight. The second-seeded U of L hosts Northern Kentucky at 7 o'clock at the Yum Center. Interim coach David Padgett expects his Cardinals to be ready both mentally and physically to face the Norse, despite the disappointment of not making it into the NCAA tournament. Padgett has told his guys to put that in the past.
I want these kids to go out and enjoy playing together, because I told them today that we have only so much time left together, whether it's myself and Trent and Greg, RJ, Honest Q. This group of people will never be together again after this season, so we need to enjoy it, because when we look back on it, we're going to say, man, we had a lot of fun doing it.
In another note, Louisville AD Vince Tyree says he won't start dealing with the future of the Cardinals head coaching position until after the season is completely over. Kentucky basketball coach John Calipari believes his Wildcats are finally putting things all together. According to Cal, UK's winning of the SEC tournament and earning a 5 seed in the NCAA tournament is the result of a lot of hard work by his young players.
That's what we built for. That's what we go through the steps of. And so, happy for the kids. I'm happy for Wenyan. I'm happy for Sasha. Quad A's playing better. PJ's playing better. I mean, they're all playing better.
The Wildcats will face 12th seed Davidson on Thursday at 7:10 in Boise, Idaho, as part of the South Regional. Meanwhile, Kentucky picked up its first commitment of the 2019 class last night. Five-star big man DJ Jeffries picked the Cats over Alabama, Mississippi State, Florida, and Kansas. ESPN ranks Jeffries as the 17th best player in the class. Some coaching notes from college basketball. CBS Sports is reporting that Tubby Smith is expected to be fired from Memphis today. Smith and his staff are meeting with Memphis administrators here in a few minutes at 5 o'clock. If fired, Memphis will have to pay Smith the rest of his contract, a little over $9.7 million. And Georgia has officially offered its head coaching job to former Ohio State coach Thad Mata. Mata's decision is expected to come within the next 24 hours. The Morehead State women's basketball team won't be playing in this year's WBI. Even though the Eagles weren't invited to be part of the tournament's 16-team field, Coach Greg Todd said it's been a great year for his ball club.
We definitely would have loved to have the opportunity to play in the WBI, but it didn't work out for this year. But nevertheless, very proud of our girls to have back-to-back 21 win seasons. We're in the top 200 RPI the last 2 years.
SIU Edwardsville will represent the OVC in this year's WBI. Cincinnati Reds veteran pitcher Homer Bailey isn't bothered by his rough spring. Bailey gave up 4 runs on 6 hits in just 4 innings of work yesterday against the Angels and has now allowed 12 runs on 17 hits in 12 innings of exhibition work. The right-hander says he feels good but admits his location is still being fine-tuned.
For right now, I'd rather catch more plate than, you know, maybe walking 3 guys a game. I know I had one in the first, but I think overall just trying to stay in the zone, you know, make them put it in play. And then as you sharpen up, you know, those ground balls get hit a little bit softer or they swing and miss. You start having a better idea of where your stuff is and how to go about that.
Meanwhile, the Reds have determined that lefty Brandon Finnegan suffered a bicep strain early in Sunday's start. He'll undergo treatment for the next couple of days before the team determines what to do next. The Morehead State baseball team was in action with Jackson State earlier today, but in the fourth inning, with the Eagles down 4-0, the tarp was put on the field due to the weather. The game's been postponed until 1 p.m. tomorrow. Once that game concludes, the second and final game of the series with Jackson State will then take place. The Morehead State softball team was scheduled to do battle with Marshall today. However, due to the weather, that game was postponed as well. The Eagles will now battle the Thundering Herd in a doubleheader in Huntington on April the 11th. The 15-4 Eagles are at home this weekend to host the Morehead Classic. Off to the best start for the program since 2008, Coach David Williams credits his team's early success to their bats.
Yeah, actually 1 through 4 in the order are all hitting over 300, and our 5 hitters just under 300, so we're getting really good production there. Taylor Wheeler is a great catalyst for the start of our lineup, and she's leading the team in runs scored, which is what you want out of your leadoff hitter. So we're getting good production there, and we're moving runners.
MSU battles East Tennessee State and Toledo on Friday starting at 11 a.m. The Morehead State football team has announced it will start spring practices on Monday, March the 26th. The Eagles will essentially practice 3 times a week through April the 19th, capping things off with their annual blue-white spring game on Saturday, April 21st. For the last several weeks, Coach Rob Tenier's players have been prepping by lifting weights and doing conditioning work.
I'm pleased with where they're at. They're working extremely hard. I project this to be our best team regarding leadership that I've had since I've been the head coach. And we've got some guys that are really invested in our program. We have a lot of game experience returning from last year. We're a very young football team. And so I'm very pleased with where we're at. Obviously, we got a long road ahead.
The MSU football team finished last season at 4-7. Finally in sports, some notes from the NFL. Drew Brees is re-signing with the Saints, agreeing to a 2-year, $50 million contract. Former Washington Redskins quarterback Kirk Cousins plans to sign a 3-year, fully guaranteed $84 million contract with the Minnesota Vikings. The deal makes Cousins the highest-paid quarterback in the league, and Washington will sign wide receiver Paul Richardson to a deal worth up to $40 million. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Baseball welcomes Belmont for 3 games this weekend, Friday at 3, Saturday at 2, and Sunday at 1. Also this weekend, softball hosts the Eagle Classic, featuring East Tennessee State, Oakland, and Toledo. Tickets and information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks fell in choppy trade after tech shares pulled back amid concerns trade tensions between the U.S. and China could increase. And at the close, the Dow Industrial showed a loss of 171.58 at 25,007.03. The S&P 500 was down 17.71 at 2765.31. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 77.31 at 7511.01. Of course, it was a big news day in Washington today, as Secretary of State Rex Tillerson was ousted by President Trump. And this was first reported earlier this morning prior to the president confirming it through a tweet. And Trump also named the CIA director Mike Pompeo as the new Secretary of State. And also in business news today, very big news in the tech sector with Qualcomm, the proposed merger of Broadcom and Qualcomm was actually blocked today by President Trump, as he cited concerns based on national security. And he ordered both companies to abandon the deal immediately. Qualcomm was the worst performing stock in the S&P 500 as a result, falling 5%, while Broadcom was down 0.625%. The VanEck Sector Semiconductor ETF, which tracks semiconductor stocks, fell 1.4% after reaching an all-time high earlier. And the worry is that the ouster of Rex Tillerson, along with the blockage of the Broadcom merger, will add fuel to the fire in a battle versus China over the horizon over the next 12 months, according to many analysts. And, of course, President Trump had been targeting China in terms of imports. It was reported earlier today that the Trump administration is now targeting $30 billion in Chinese imports, but it was also noted that the president initially asked for a bigger number. The U.S. Consumer Price Index rose 0.2% in February, and this was in line with expectations. Inflation concerns permeated through the market last month as investors worried that higher inflation would lead the Federal Reserve to tighten monetary policy at a faster rate. And today's very tame number for the CPI gave traders a reason to sigh for relief. And, of course, now all eyes will be on the Federal Reserve as they meet later this month. The central bank is expected to raise rates by 0.25%. However, a rapid increase in interest rates from the central bank would seem less likely if inflation does stay at lower levels. In corporate news, shares of General Electric fell 4.4% after it was downgraded by a major broker. And in the commodities markets, oil finished with a loss of 1.2% at $60.62 a barrel. Gold was up 0.4% at $1,326.10 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were weak, with the Stock 600 index down 1%. In Asia, stocks were much better performing, with the Nikkei up 0.7% and the Kospi index from South Korea up 0.4%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were United Health Group and Johnson & Johnson. The worst performers were GE and Microsoft. In the S&P 500, the best performers were PG&E and Xerox, and the worst performers were Qualcomm and Alexion Pharmaceuticals. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down $1.03 at $71.69, CSX down 11 cents at $57.48, AEP up 16 cents at $66.03, AK Steel down 17 cents at $5.19, Marathon Petroleum down 2 cents at $69.25, and Dollar General was up 92 cents to finish at $89.53. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the City of Moorhead, announcing that the Round County Community Fund is now accepting proposals for projects that contribute to the improvement of Moorhead in the Round County community. To be eligible, applicants must be 501c3 tax-exempt charitable organizations, local governments, school districts, or programs sponsored by one of these organizations. Applications must be received by April 13th. More information at 859-225-3343.
And taking one last look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening area tonight, mostly cloudy skies with lows around 21. There's a 30% chance of snow showers with little to no accumulation. On Wednesday, chance of flurries before 8 a.m., mostly cloudy otherwise with highs near 38. And on Wednesday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 30 degrees. It's currently 37 degrees in Winchester, 39 degrees in Ashland and Inez, 36 in Lexington, it's 35 in Flemingsburg, and it's 35 here on the campus of MSU.
That's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Brian Courtney, Greg Jenkins, Cody Robinson, Kyle Blankenbuehler, and Braxton Howard. KNN's Haley Hansen and Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke. Our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Jacob Lindberg. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202 BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ellen Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.